Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio SmackDown Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing this week's SmackDown Live at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to talk to us live. Of course, you can always hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. We have so much to get to. Not just because of SmackDown. A lot of news is broken. And SmackDown this week, by the way, as a little teaser for our roundup later, was a very interesting show. SmackDown this week centrally focused on wrestling. How about that? We'll be talking about that a little bit later, but we got to get to some of the news now because so much has happened. First off, all kinds of signings, as you probably know by now. War Machine has been signed by the WWE. Ricochet has been signed by the WWE. It appears Laurel Van Ness is on the verge of being signed by the WWE. Ethan Carter III is all but signed by the WWE. Some people suggesting he may even make an appearance at the Royal Rumble. Bobby Lashley is entertaining the idea, although he's saying he doesn't want to work a full schedule, and the WWE's had about enough part-timers, so there might be some discrepancy there in what he wants to do and what they want him to do. James Storms has said he wants in. And that's the tip of the iceberg. It's the tip of the iceberg. There are a lot more coming. The WWE is amassing a huge amount of talent, and they're not doing it for no reason. There's talent that we see sitting on the sidelines every single week in both NXT, SmackDown, and Raw. Underused, seldom used, never used. Things are coming. Just watch. The WWE is not expanding their payroll for no reason. So remember where you heard that first, by the way. Anyway, with all of those signings taking place, there is an absolute rash of injuries in the WWE, as we've been reporting for two or three shows. Paige is virtually out of professional wrestling in the WWE anyway. Rumors abound that she still has this attitude that I could still do it, and maybe in a year or two I could still do it. We don't know. WWE has said not on their watch, basically. And then a report has come out that has absolutely flabbergasted me. So I want to share it with you. Triple H was asked about the possibility of a Daniel Bryan return to the ring. Now, look, Triple H could be playing with us. So keep that in mind when I tell you what he said. But as a rule, Triple H doesn't do that kind of thing all that much outside when he's talking to legitimate sports sources. And what he said was this: the WWE has rules, and no one is above those rules. And when a decision is made, there are no exceptions. There are no exceptions made depending on who you are. He said he realizes that Daniel Bryan feels he should be able to wrestle. Thus far, the doctors in the WWE have said it is not a good idea. They prefer to err on the side of caution. And then he added, which I thought was a little bit of a shot, Daniel Bryan is a married man with a child, and his first priorities should be that. True. And they have no intention of wrestling him. Then you can say goodbye to Daniel Bryan. I guess it's in... September next year. I don't even know. This year, I'm not exactly sure when his contract expires, but that's the same thing as saying goodbye to Daniel Bryan. unless, of course, he's working us. But it also begs the question, if that's the case, how come Bret Hart wrestled when he had a stroke? And somehow he got medically cleared to fight Vince McMahon. How come Shawn Michaels was supposedly told by several physicians, if you land wrong after suffering your back injury, you could be paralyzed and wrestle for years and years after that, after retiring and then coming back and having a long run, including fighting Triple H? So before you say no exceptions are ever made, that's not true. Number one, that's not true. Number two, it's absurd to say that if you get three or four doctors on your own that medically clear you to wrestle, one doctor that the WWE has hired overrides all of those. I wonder if you know that Paige's private doctor told her never to wrestle again. I wonder if anybody informed Triple H of that. Paige's private doctor told her, in my opinion, your wrestling career is over. Do not get back in the ring. It is a mistake. But the WWE had a financial stake in a movie that they invested in, and they wanted Paige back. And lo and behold, here comes Paige back, and guess what happened? So before Triple H goes nutso with there are never any exceptions and we always err on the side of caution, don't blow smoke up people's ass when it's clearly not the truth. Clearly not the truth. So having dispatched to that, let's get to some of the injury reports. We already know Dean Ambrose is out for an extended period of time. He will not be in the Rumble. Samoa Joe is out for an extended period of time. He will not be in the Rumble. Jason Jordan is injured. Kevin Owens has lower back problems. He is injured. Both of them are reportedly still going to be working the shows, the Rumble. But I don't know what's going to happen after that. Sheamus is injured and not so much injured as he's dealing with a degenerative sort of a deal. And we don't know what his limitations are going to be. And people are kind of dropping like flies. Now, the Jason Jordan thing, if you want to go back and think about it, okay, he didn't wrestle this week. And people said, oh, he's injured. But let me ask you a question. Go back to your DVR and watch last week's Raw. He didn't wrestle there either. He was in a match, but he never got tagged in. So perhaps they knew about it even then and sent him out. So where is all this while we're erring on the side of caution coming from? There are people dropping like flies in your federation, and you're erring on the side of caution? Think so. And, of course, the last piece of news which we want to get to, and we're going to be discussing this at length today, I'm sure, with the panel. There was a major bust of a steroid distribution ring through a sports performance business. Guy's name was Rodriguez, I believe, that was busted. And he named as some of his clients some Hollywood celebrities, including Mark Wahlberg, and Roman Reigns as a client. Now, Roman Reigns has categorically denied it and said he doesn't even know who this Rodriguez guy is and he's never heard of his company. And he also added that he had failed a wellness test once before, learned from his mistakes, and he has passed 11 straight wellness tests since that day. So I want to talk a little bit about this because I know this is going to be a huge subject of interest. Number one, how will the WWE react? Well, first, let me tell you this. His guilt or innocence isn't necessarily predicated on how the WWE will act because they've gotten so much publicity from this that they may decide, even if he's done nothing, the shadow that has been cast over this may not be worth it for the WWE to get drugged back into a steroid scandal. And that could put a damper on the future plans of Roman Reigns in this federation. There is no doubt about it, whether or not he's innocent or guilty. Now let me talk about the innocence or guilt. I have no personal experience with anabolic steroids. Never taken them. However, I do understand how they function, how they work, how they're taken, and the effects they have on you. And I'm going to be very honest with you. I don't see Roman Reigns having what I call a steroid enhanced physique. Number one, he wears the vest all the time. And the few times that it's been torn off, I don't see a heavily cut, chiseled guy. I see a guy who's in good shape. I see a guy who's not carrying a lot of extra pounds. But I don't see Ryback. I don't see Batista. I don't see Chris Masters. I'm not saying any of those guys took steroids, but you can make your own decisions. Roman Reigns is 6 foot two or three, 200 and what do they call him? 60 pounds? He's exactly my size. He's exactly my size. And probably a little more muscular than me. Not much. And I've certainly not taken anything. So if he did take them, he probably should get his money back because I don't really think it's working. That's number one. Number two, if you don't work out and you take steroids, you bulk. Essentially what steroids does is it fills your muscle tissue with water and you balloon up. Certain people take them and then they don't work out and they just get fat. They get big fat size because they're water weighted. If you do work out, it enhances it and you cut rather quickly and you become bulky. But the very first thing you'll notice in most people who take steroids on a regular basis, you will notice their trap muscles. The muscles just behind your neck there start to become extraordinarily enhanced. Unnaturally so. And you say to yourself, gee, that's weird because that's a hard muscle to really, you know, get all bulky like that. And then usually that's what happens. And you'll notice a thickness to them. I don't really notice a thickness in Roman Reigns. Now, what I also should say, though, is this. This would have happened right about the time that Roman Reigns was suspended. So if this didn't happen yesterday, so if this guy Rodriguez is telling the truth, then the Adderall that Roman Reigns was supposedly suspended for could potentially have been steroids. If that's the case, the WWE lied. Because the WWE said it was for Adderall. So it can't be both ways. Either way, does this affect Roman Reigns? Well, yeah, it could. Because we'll see how far this goes. Someone's going to stick a microphone back in Rodriguez's face and say, Roman Reigns has denied this. Do you have any proof? He's either going to say, no, I don't, because everything has been confiscated. My computers, my books, everything's been confiscated. But they'll certainly have proof. Law enforcement will have proof. Or he will say, no, I don't. But if he denies it, he's a liar. Or he will say nothing. But either way, there's now been a shadow cast. And either way, I can guarantee you that Monday night, there's going to be signs and chants and all kinds of things about Roman Reigns and steroid abuse. And the WWE does not want that shadow back on their doorstep. I promise you they don't. So now where do we go from here? I mean, are we at a stage now, Mike, where a potentially innocent man may have his career cut short or lessened due to allegations made by a guy who we don't know is credible?
It kind of seems to me that it goes to me. It looks like the whole Roger Clemens issue again, where the so-called guy who said he helped train Roger Clemens, you know, said Clemens took steroids, you know, and people say, well, prove it, and he really couldn't prove it. And he was proven to be a liar, you know, and that type of thing. And he talked about how this stuff affects you. I mean, look at Triple H. Look at what – I mean, he's been accused of using steroids, but you can tell that he probably has because you look at his body. You look at his body at 50 years old, and you look at his body. You look at You look at Lex Luger and all those guys, and you look at, I mean, you look, there are a number of guys you can tell that they have been using steroids. Like they said, you really can't tell that he's not fat. He's not, oh, he's not Yokozuna, you know. He's not, you know, he's not some of these bigger guys that you can, that have blown up and are, look like they're fat, just fat. And he's not Lex Luger or Triple H or even The Rock to some extent, you know. So until the proof is out there, I'm going to say that this guy, this Rodriguez guy, is a liar until the proof is out there. And it may never be out there, but until it is, I'm going to say he's a liar, you know.
See, the thing is this. Steroid use is usually really easily spotted. And even when you stop, one or two things happens. If you've been on for a long time and you stop, there's a dramatic loss in weight and muscle mass. And even if you just cycle and you go off cycle sometimes and you, once in a blue moon you take them, you still maintain a thickness. There's like a thickness to you. I don't see any thickness in Roman Reigns. He's not a thick guy. He's, you know, he's too, like I said, he's 260. He's a big guy, but he's not a thick guy. And thick is usually the key element to steroids. Now, there are other drugs that cut you, that don't bulk you. I'm not saying he's never been on anything in his entire life. He's admitted to the Adderall. But what I am saying is that steroids, which is what this Rodriguez guy is claiming, it doesn't seem correct. It doesn't seem correct. Because you can usually spot that quite easily. And if Roman Reigns has passed 11 straight wellness tests, then I would say it's an extraordinarily good possibility that this Rodriguez guy is blowing smoke up his butt. Now, I want to see proof presented. If proof has been is presented that Roman Reigns at some point in his life, performance-enhancing steroids, then you cross that bridge when you come to it. He's obviously not doing it now. So that would mean what? That you're going to punish somebody for something they did years ago? I don't know if that flies. If that's the case, I don't know how you're ever talking about bringing Batista back. So I don't know where this is going. I've had a flood of emails asking me, is this going to be, are they going to change the WWE's Royal Rumble over this? Originally, Roman Reigns was not scheduled to win the Royal Rumble. Roman Reigns was scheduled to win Elimination Chamber and earn a shot at Brock Lesnar. That's the way it was supposed to go. Now, the Royal Rumble itself, there's been all kinds of speculation. John Cena will win it. That's doubtful. Shinsuke Nakamura will win it. That was the original plan, but that could have changed because Nakamura's not doing well. He didn't even win the Mixed Match Challenge. Then I know that Derek was saying that some people in the chat room, Derek was saying some people said Finn Balor's going to win it. If Finn Balor wins it, you can throw the Royal Rumble completely out the window. A, no one wants to see this match. Derek says, I'm mildly interested in it. When you see it, you won't be mildly interested in it. It will be garbage. Because if Brock Lesnar didn't want to sell to Jinder Mahal, if you think Brock Lesnar is selling to a cruiserweight, forget about it. So now who will win the Royal Rumble? Well, we'll be talking a little bit more about that. And I should make a program note that we will be on the air Sunday at 12 noon due to the fact that I will be attending the 205 live show in Poughkeepsie, New York that night. And I'll be posting some updates on our Facebook page about that. So 12 noon on Sunday, we will be on the air. Look, the Roman Reigns thing, Todd, he doesn't look to me from the naked eye as a guy who has seen many, many, many people who are on steroids. He doesn't look like a guy who uses steroids.
No, he doesn't. Like you said, who's this Rodriguez guy? I got no idea who he is. You got no idea who he is. This guy could be lying about this whole thing, about Roman Reigns being on steroids. Come on now.
Yeah, look, we'll see where this goes. But my fear is this. My fear is it doesn't matter. If negative publicity comes Roman Reigns' way, if Monday there's all kinds of signs, there's all kinds of chants, there's all kinds of heckling about it, the WWE may very well say, well, we can't have this. And we certainly can't have this with a guy that we're promoting to be the champion. So we're going to have to change plans. If they do that, then everything is off the table. Everything's on the table, I should say. Nothing's off the table. Anybody could win. If they decide we're not going with Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns at WrestleMania anymore, then I don't think they'll go that far. But it is predicated upon how the crowd reacts and how quick this goes away. Because right now I can guarantee you there's media saying, oh, yeah, can you prove Roman Reigns? Anything you got can say, can you prove it in any way, shape, or form? Is there any thing on your computers that the FBI has or whatever? If it turns out that there is, he's not winning the belt. I can promise you that. If it turns out there is, there's no way they're handing him that belt at WrestleMania. There is no way. Turns out there isn't, then it's predicated on how much negative publicity and how long this thing lasts. For the first week, if the crowd jeers them and then they say, who cares, then fine. But if this persists, then it's not fine. And they're not going to have a champion who's going to bring a dark cloud over this federation again after that huge steroid scandal that they had many years ago that damn near brought the WWE down. They're not going to do it. So this is a tough time. It'd be very interesting to see where this goes. Very interesting. Anyway, let's launch into SmackDown. You know, this week's SmackDown reminded me of just how bad Raw and SmackDown has been as of late. Because when you watch an actual wrestling show, that is geared toward the matches and geared toward the action and geared toward the actual workers, it's like a breath of fresh air. I watched this and I said, you know, on paper, this doesn't sound good. Jinder Mahal, Xavier Woods, Riot Squad, and, you know, another endless series of six-man tag, Mojo Rawley and Bobby Roode. Nothing sounded all that spectacular. But if you watched it, it lived up. It, not only did it live up to your expectations, it far exceeded mine. I expected very little. And I actually found myself saying, wow, this is really good. I mean, they're giving these guys plenty of time for the matches. They're not shortcutting them in any way, shape, or form. They're not undermining them with a million things going on backstage that you say, oh, God, I wish the match was over so I could see what was going on backstage again. They didn't do that. They made it appear like this was a very, very prestigious thing, that the winner, this is a huge deal, lent a little bit of prestige to this belt. And I think they did a really good job. Xavier Woods and Jinder Mahal, that's very possibly the best match I've seen Jinder Mahal in, including the AJ Styles match. And I feel a little bit sorry for Jinder Mahal because I think he's been going to be blamed for an awful lot of failing as a champion, and it really wasn't his fault. And I don't see Jinder Mahal being much more than a contender for a short period of time in his near future, Mike. But I did think that was the best match I've seen him in a very, very long time.
It was, and it also proved that if you give Xavier Woods a chance as a singles guy, he can get the job done, you know. Now we know that's not going to happen too often, but he's a decent singles wrestler, is Xavier Woods. And look, one of the few backstage things they did, I did enjoy when they had Baron Corbin basically look like on a handheld camera or something, say, you know, basically I'm a lone wolf and I'm going to win the battle royal, you know, that thing. But that was one of the better things, and that was only maybe a 2 minute thing that they had him do, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, there were some things backstage, but none of them were so important that was the storyline. The storyline this week was wrestling. There wasn't a continual storyline of what's happening with Daniel Bryan and Shane. What's going on backstage with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn? What's going on backstage? You know, we want to get back to the backstage area. Oh, another match. Hurry up and get it done so we can go backstage. You don't want that. And this week you didn't want that. This week, the backstage stuff was a little bit of icing on the cake where you say, oh, there's Rusev and Aiden English. And they did a little thing with the fashion police and, of course, the Ascension. Or, oh, okay, like you said, there's Baron Corbin, and he's got a little bit to say. Or here's a few clips of girls saying what they want to say about the Royal Rumble or whatever. AJ Styles backstage saying, you know, this is how I feel about my championship match. Those were little drops of icing on the cake. But the cake this week was. Now, a minor point that I wanted to bring up that I thought was annoying about SmackDown this week is some of the matches, and I know it depends on the contract, I guess, they have with the advertiser. Some of the matches, they kept the screen up so you could see what was going on. And then some of them, they didn't. Some of them, they just went to the commercial break. And the interesting thing was, one of them was a qualifying match for the U.S. title, and you're like, okay, well, that's not important enough to keep up. But the women's match is. Very unusual. I find that annoying. Either way you're going to do this, try to do it only one of them. Either just go to the commercial and forget the little tiny screen in the corner, or always have it, but don't mix it, because then it just becomes nonsense. And it makes me wonder if you're thinking, well, this match isn't that important, or whatever you're thinking. It's just not good. Pick one. I'm just as happy just going to the commercial, because watching that up there on that little screen doesn't thrill me anyway. But whatever you're going to do, make it universal. Don't do half of it one way and half of it the other way. It's just annoying. Now, in another good news front, the WWE may actually have something with Mojo Rawley. I was not a big fan at all, because I thought Mojo as a face was just annoying. The he's hyped thing was annoying. The him running around doing X, Y, and Z was just annoying. It was annoying as hell. And not something anybody really wants to root for. This Mojo, much, much better. Now, for the benefit of people who don't have Twitter, Mojo had written that the referee cost him the match, that the referee clearly got in his way a couple of times, blocked him from doing what he wanted to do, that there was very poor officiating, and if they can't find a referee that can keep up with him, they really need to, try a little harder. To which Ty Dillinger wrote back, you know, a real athlete just takes the blame when they lose, and they don't blame the world. They take their failures with their successes. Obviously, you don't do that. To which Mojo totally buries him and says in response, how would you know? You haven't had any successes. Do you even still work for this company? There's your proper use of Twitter. Because now, having read that, I'm actually interested in seeing these two guys fight. And if you just put that up on a SmackDown and said, oh, Ty Dillinger's fighting Mojo, I'll be like, oh, God, here we go. But now I'm saying, oh, well, okay, that's, wow, shots fired, you know. And Mojo seems to be able to do that. Mojo seems to have that, the wit to really cut to the core and say some impactful things as a heel that he couldn't say as a face. As a face, all he's ever saying is, hey, hyped, we're hyped, and it was just ridiculous. As this new edgy character, he seems to be pretty good on the mic. And better yet, he seems to understand how to use Twitter, Mike. So, I mean, they may have something in Mojo.
They may have something in Mojo. And look, remember, this is almost what happened about a year ago. There were several guys that were getting in Twitter wars that you read what they said, and it was like they were trying to start something with each other, you know. And they were trying to start a storyline on Twitter. And that sounds like what this is. This is a guy using Twitter the right way.
Finally, you know, rather than to yell at fans over stupid things or claim they don't understand the business or claim their match was 5-star when it was 2-star, they finally understand, look, we can use this to further our gimmick. And listen, I mean, that was retweeted I don't know how many times. Do you still work for this company? That was big. And Ty Dillinger really has had his career kind of stalled. So we'll see what ends up happening here. I mean, this could help. But this is the active way you use social media, Todd, to further your career instead of arguing with fans for no reason.
You're absolutely right there. It is the right way to handle a situation over on Twitter. Like AJ Styles, like, thank you for supporting me and all that other great stuff. Like, I'm not retiring. Thank you anyway. You know, that's the right way to use Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this social media thing could be big for the WWE. The WWE always says, oh, we're the most tweeted and we have the most followers. Well, then use it. But don't use it to have 35-year-old wrestlers argue with 14-year-old fans. Because that's stupid and it's pointless. Use it this way. Use it to start these little Twitter wars and let the fans be entertained by it. It's one more aspect. It's one more way, and it's a free way, that you can promote yourself. Anyway, the Xavier Woods match I thought was really good. I thought Jinder Mahal did an excellent job. Woods did an excellent job. The whole thing was excellent. The women's match, look, it was what it was. Ruby Riott had lost last week. A little bit of a rehab situation. Okay. Bobby Roode and Mojo. Mojo got a lot of offense. He didn't look like he was dominated exactly, which is good. Looked like he could hold his own with Bobby Roode, which is good. And then they made that huge announcement that Daniel Bryan did that, hey, we're just going to go for it tonight. We're going to have the finals tonight. Which leads me to believe, I have no proof that they ever thought they weren't going to have the finals in the last show. But I do know they had thought about having it just before the Royal Rumble. So next week's show may be important, really important, that they decided to bump it up. We'll see. We may see something with Ziggler too. But this was also a good match. Bobby Roode and Jinder did a really good job. Now, I'm not going to lie. I was rooting for Jinder only because I just think U.S. Championship, Jinder Mahal, and the first thing I'm thinking of is, man, could he aggravate the fans with that? And, man, could you ever potentially break Rusev, not out of his tag team, but remember, him and Rusev never got along anyway. And, boy, I'll tell you, if Rusev went for that U.S. belt, I think you'd have a lot of fan interest in that. Aiden English on his side, the Singh brothers on the other side. Yeah, I think you'd have something. So I was really hoping that Jinder Mahal would win. Now, deep down inside, did I know he wasn't going to? Yeah, I did. I knew they were going to give Bobby Roode this belt. I'd said so a month ago. He's going to get the belt. And he's going to feud with Dolph Ziggler, and I guess it's going to be good, you know. But I don't think it'll be as good as Jinder Mahal and Rusev could have been for both of those guys' careers, Mike. So I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah, and look, I know what they're trying to do with Bobby Roode, but again, if what we're talking about at the beginning of the show with all these signings, and one of the signings includes James Storm, I wouldn't stick Storm back on NXT. I'd possibly stick him with Bobby Roode again.
Could be. Could happen. Could very well happen. I mean, look, is James Storm a likely signing? Probably not. And here's why. Number one, he's 40 or more. Number two, he was in NXT and walked away from a deal because he thought it wasn't enough money. And that's probably pissed off the WWE. Now, he's kissing ass on social media saying the WWE is the greatest federation ever and blah, blah, blah. And I'm in the gym working three times harder. And, you know, my dream is to be there. And he's kissing some ass. But I don't know if he's going to be able to kiss enough ass. We'll see. He says he still feels he has a lot to give. He probably does. And I would love to see a James Storm's Bobby Roode feud even would be nice. In the WWE. We'll see where that goes. Anyway, I mean, listen, this show was about the wrestling, folks. And if you love wrestling, then you had to like this show. The hype was pretty much kept to a minimum. The ring action was fleshed out very nicely. And I did promise, so I will talk about this, the Uso situation. I don't remember which one it was. I think it was Jay, arrested for drunk driving. Not good. It's not good. Happened to Jack Swagger, happened to a couple other people, and their career went kaput. WWE has a zero tolerance policy on that, too. And we will probably see the result of that at the Royal Rumble, because if indeed they decide that they're going to punish him for this incident, they're definitely losing the belt. Now, there's no way, listen, I can't defend this. You can't drive drunk. I don't care who you are. You can't drive drunk. But at the same time, he's going to pay the price for it. He's going to get his driver's license revoked, or he's going to get a big fine, or he's going to get whatever he's going to get. He's going to get. And I know that if you work at, I don't know, some factory, and you drive drunk, okay, you still got your job. I mean, they're going to fire him, but are they really going to punish him? Well, I don't know. I don't know. They're the best tag team in the WWE right now. I know that. And punishing them at this stage of the game, you know, it's very hard for me to say. What I do think is that it was a bonehead move. And when you're on top of the world and you got the Federation by the groin because you are the best tag team, you got to keep your nose clean. You know, you can't have it. Because these are the exact things that hurt you to the point where your reputation doesn't recover. And then you end up saying, oh, man, I should have done. So that's a little bit of a disturbing news, Mike. I mean, the Usos were flying high, and this could derail it for a while.
It could derail it for a while, but, does the fact that they're making a ton of money off of the Usos kind of counterbalance the weight that, yeah, they'll punish them, but they won't punish them for long? Because, you know, he's going to lose his license or whatever and this, but, you know, just how much are they going to punish them? And, look, they still have even if they do punish him for a month or two or whatever, you still got the second best tag team in the world in the New Day there, you know. And if what we're saying is going to happen is going to happen, you're going to end up having probably the War Machine, either on Raw, possibly on SmackDown. And look, a War Machine, I would love to see a War Machine Bludgeon Brothers.
That's where they're going with this. I mean, I don't know. War Machine could show up at NXT for a while, but I think that's where they're going to eventually want to go with this, I would think, is War Machine and the Bludgeon Brothers, certainly. As far as the Usos situation, look, get the guy to – I'm sure the guy realizes he made a mistake. You get him to do some community service. You get him to do some, maybe a little video or a little short segment on drunk driving or whatever you have to do. And you make sure that you inform him that any future incident is going to result in suspension or termination. And then you move on, I guess. I mean, what else can you do? The law is going to take care of the rest of it. So what more do you want to do? They didn't fire Swagger over it, but he certainly took some shots down the ladder with that. So we'll see what ends up happening. Right now, though, this is what I wanted to get across. There's the hypocrisy of the WWE is starting to reveal itself in a very odd way. And that is, we are a no-nonsense federation. Our rules apply to every single person equally. We don't in any way, shape, or form make exceptions on X, Y, or Z. And then you see this all the time. Because I promise you, if that was Mike Kanellis, he's fired. I promise you, if that was Ty Dillinger, he's fired. Period. Either the drunk driving or the steroids, he's fired. I promise you they are. So for Triple H to sit on a panel and literally say, we treat every single person equally and there are no exceptions, and I understand where Daniel Bryan's coming from, but we always believe in erring on the side of caution, and we don't make exceptions for any particular wrestler, if they're on the top of the card or on the bottom, that's just not true. That's just not true. Mike, we see it all the time. They make exceptions constantly.
Oh, I mean, you don't have to go look no further than what happened with Steve Austin after his neck injury. He didn't get fired or get knocked down the ladder or whatever. You know, they didn't say you couldn't wrestle, which they probably could have with that type of injury, you know. They let him wrestle. He didn't wrestle all that often, but he wrestled. And that's being hypocritical. And you look at the steroid issue. I mean, you look at people like, oh, I don't know, Triple H with his body at 50. And, of course, you look at all the evidence is that at some point, Jinder Mahal might have done steroids. I mean, you look at his body and you see all this acne and stuff on his back and all that stuff, and you see how he's cut up and all that stuff. He's probably at some point done his steroids, and they're not doing anything to him, you know.
Well, let's talk about Goldberg. I mean, when Goldberg returned, he was certainly less muscular than he was in his WCW days, but he's still a man of 51, 52 years old. And show me a few, you know, that's what I want you to do. Show me a 51, 52 year old guy who works out on a regular basis who looks like that. Show me one. I don't see any. And on top of that, told Vince McMahon, I have this issue, I have that issue, I have this issue and that issue, and I don't know if I can really go, and I don't know if I'll be hurt, and blah, blah, blah. And they made all kinds of concessions to the point of even saying he's got to beat Brock Lesnar in 5 seconds. They've made all kinds of concessions for a man who said, I'm too injured to take a bump to wrestle one match. at WrestleMania, but they won't make those concessions for Paige to be in the Women's Royal Rumble, even if it means just being in there for 5 seconds and somehow tossing herself out in some small manner or getting gently bumped out. They won't make that concession. So again, don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining. Don't sit here and tell me we treat every single person equally. That's not true. You saw dollar signs in the Goldberg-Brock Lesnar feud, and you said we're going to make it happen, and it doesn't matter if every doctor on the planet says Goldberg is in danger. Then we'll work around it. Oh, he can't do 3 minutes. Can he do 40 seconds? He can't do 40 seconds. Can he do 20 seconds? He can. How about if he doesn't take any bumps at all? How about if all he does is do this forward move with a spear? Can he do that? He can? Okay, well then guess what, Brock? Even though we'll give you the world on a silver platter, you got to eat this one for us. We're making every concession in the world to get Bill Goldberg to come back into this ring. But we will not make any concession whatsoever to get Daniel Bryan back in a match, nor will we do it for Paige to be in the Women's Royal Rumble, even though that's a piece of history. We won't do it. So don't lie. Just say, look, it depends. There's no money to be made off Paige being in the Royal Rumble, so because of that, we won't do it. The Daniel Bryan thing's a mystery because there's big money to be made from that. And I still say that could be a work. I still say that Daniel Bryan at some point in time is wrestling for the WWE, and if he doesn't, then they are complete fools. Or they have a very big vendetta against Daniel Bryan, and I can't imagine what it would be since they offered him a huge amount of money to stay. So that's a mystery. I have no clue why they wouldn't want Daniel Bryan back in the ring, even if they did have to make some concessions, Todd.
You're absolutely right there about Daniel Bryan. They don't let him wrestle. He's going to be gone.
He's already said he's going to be gone with a stroke.
Bret
Hart wrestled with a stroke after having a stroke. Goldberg wrestled having said, I can't even take a bump. Can't even take a bump. Not medically able to really take a bump right now. Still wrestled. At times, Vince McMahon, at 60-some-odd years old, wrestled with a host of issues. Tell me that concessions aren't made on a regular basis to get people to wrestle. Now, if you're going to tell me, look, Daniel Bryan is being whatever and he wants to wrestle a full schedule and it's that or nothing, okay. Then the WWE has a good point. They might say, look, we don't want to do that. We can't make concessions every single match. And we don't want to take the risk that we put you on a schedule of, you know, that you want to be on and something happens to you. We won't go that far. But if you're telling me they won't even offer them a part-time in-ring contract where you say, look, Daniel, you'll mostly still be the general manager, but maybe 3-4 times a year, you know, we'll let you do this. If he's cool with that, then there's no reason. If he's not cool with it and says, no, I want to wrestle weekly or something, well, then okay. Then I'll give the WWE a pass. But I'm not giving the WWE a pass on the Paige thing. Because I still say that that girl could stand in that ring, do absolutely nothing except maybe chop a girl in the corner, take no offense at all from anyone, lean over the ropes to talk to one of her teammates and get gently tossed out on her feet. Do not tell me that that can't happen. It absolutely can happen. Mae Young was put through a table. She was 80. Show me the doctor. I want to see the doctor that said, this woman at 80-some-odd years old can be put through a table off the stage by a 290-pound man because her bones won't break. There'll be no problem with her bad back. There'll be no problem with a potential concussion. There'll be no problem with jarring her intestines or her ribs at this age. Please. Of course she was protected. Of course Bubba Ray Dudley did it the right way. Of course he knew what he was doing. But don't tell me there's no risk, zero. Of course there was a risk. She's 80. So, please, spare me the, we can't possibly take the chance on Paige being in the Royal Rumble for 45 seconds. Baloney. You don't want to. And that's, Mike, where it breaks down for me with this we treat everyone equally crapola. That's not true.
I mean, I would wager to say if you gave Daniel Bryan the Brock Lesnar treatment, he'd take it, you know, because at least Brock Lesnar wrestles, you know. And again, Brock Lesnar is another issue of being, of the WWE being hypocritical, because it's been proven that he's failed a drug test, you know.
Right. That's exactly right. Brock Lesnar was suspended from the UFC, and it's look, we'll see how this plays out. So really, this show has been, it's a two-part show this week because SmackDown was very good. This is what I want to see from SmackDown. No, you don't have to totally not have any backstage storylines going on, but once in a while, isn't it nice to just see a show about wrestling? Once in a while, isn't it nice to say they didn't really further the storyline between Shane and Daniel this week? They didn't need to. It was more about this belt. That's the way it should be. This SmackDown this week was exactly what SmackDown needed. A return to how it used to be when they first started this brand split. And it was about the in-ring performers. And that's how they said they were going to keep it. And then they got off on this tangent. We're half the show with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens backstage frolicking around. The other half is Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan at each other's throats. And, oh, by the way, there's a couple of matches if you're interested. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And fortunately, they've returned to some normalcy here. So we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening. They're going to finish up the storyline. You know, they're going to continue this Daniel Bryan storyline and Shane, no question. Daniel Bryan last night acting very much like a face, which makes me think, you know, let's see what's happening with his contract, because the rumor was if Daniel Bryan refused to sign a contract, they were going to bury Daniel Bryan in the sense that they were going to make him a heel. They were going to make him unlikable. They were going to make him unmarketable so that when he left, it would be no big deal to go see Daniel Bryan. Whether it would have worked or not is another thought. But that was their idea. Their idea is bury him as much as you can to lower his worth to other federations before he leaves. I certainly didn't do it last night. That's the SmackDown. So I'm interested. Maybe negotiations are imminent with him. Daniel Bryan has always said, if my doctors at any given time tell me it's probably better you do not wrestle, then I'm not wrestling anymore because my first priority is my family. But that's not what they've been saying. According to him, he said that he's in better shape now than he was. And they're saying all systems go. And for some bizarre reason, the WWE's doctor is saying no, which is weird. Because this is the same guy that, you know, said Paige can wrestle. Yeah, how'd that work out? This is the same guy who's saying, oh, well, you know, Sheamus is okay, even though he's got a degenerative disease and it's getting worse. It makes me scratch my head a little bit. Anyway, let's rate SmackDown this week. I will start the ball rolling, and I'll tell you that I was very impressed with the opening. New Day was good. The match with Xavier Woods and Jinder was the best I've seen Jinder in. I do think the women's match slowed things down a little. It was all right. It wasn't great. Mojo and Bobby Roode, I thought, was very good. No problems with it. The surprise that we were going to get the U.S. Championship finals that night was a great surprise. Fans live especially loved it. And that match was a good match. So all in all, there wasn't really much wrong with SmackDown. I'm going to give it an A. I won't give it an A plus, but I'll give it an A. Because I really think they made a concentrated effort to say, we are going to now focus on in-ring. And what the key part to me was that they made this show about the U.S. belt. And by making it about the U.S. belt, they made that feel like it's important. Rather than, oh, yeah, and it's a title that's defended here once in a blue moon on, no big deal. It didn't feel like that. It felt like they were saying, this is a big deal now. It's going to be a very big deal. And that's the part I guess I like the best, Mike.
Yeah, I'm not going to stray too far from your grade, but I'm going to, an A minus, There are a few little things, but there are little nitpicks that I have, but it's an A minus. I like the in-ring action. I like the few backstage things were short and sweet things that they did, and I think the commentators had a good night as well.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. Todd, what's your rating overall?
I gotta give it an A too. I liked the beginning with the New Day, they came out. It has like the old school feel back in the day with this. More in the ring, less in the back area. I got to give it an A.
Yeah, listen, we're all giving it high grades because we got good action. We got some storyline. We got just enough of everything. But the central focus was wrestling, not was, what's happening backstage with KO and Sami Zayn and Renee Young, or what's happening with Shane and Daniel Bryan. And thankfully, this was about wrestling. And I could sit back, and they didn't cut any of these matches short. I sit back and watch the action, and I'm saying, this is good. This is why I like to watch wrestling. So let's hope we get a little more of that. Anyway, I want to remind everyone, Sunday's show will be 12 noon, because I will be going to Poughkeepsie, New York, to attend the 205 live show, which we'll be reporting there from, by the way. And so if any of you people who listen to the show here are going, hit me up on Facebook and maybe we'll see you there. We'll see you on 12 noon Sunday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.